from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I think the great question counter yesterday and today is 1-0 for you, right?
Let's go, yeah.
You kind of on a bit of a roll, even against Mark Willard, too.
Three of the last four went to the Denver.
There you go.
Yeah.
The
good Dr. Brian Feely coming up here in an hour.
Ooh. Which, I got to start thinking of questions to make sure I get a great question and not you.
Yeah. And that's, you know, they're on the payroll, so to speak, so I don't know if those actually count. Willard always tries to discount them when they go my way.
Of course.
And
when
he gets one, it's a complete exultation. Sensation is what that is. So we'll keep it rolling. We'll see if we can't get some good questions in there.
Yeah, Doc Feely coming up, cleared to play in about an hour here on 95.7 The Game. We'll ask him about the host of injuries the Niners are dealing with at training camp. The Niners are obviously dealing with, they're kind of fighting a multi-front war right now, Dibs, because you've got the Brandon Ayuk situation, you've got the Trent Williams situation, but then you've also got the fact that they just canceled their inter-squad scrimmage practices, joint practices with the New Orleans Saints, because they're scared that they don't have enough players to field a full squad to do, you know, first team versus first team, second team versus second team, and third team versus third team. And if they get a couple more injuries through a rough practice week, then what is the regular season going to look like? So the Niners have a lot of issues that they're sorting through right now, and we'll get a little bit of information on one of those issues, the general injury issue, the injury bug going through the Niners in preseason. We'll talk with the Doc Feely about that coming up in just about an hour. But we're focused on this Ayuk situation because the news of the day, according to Ian Rappaport, is the Steelers and 49ers have a deal on a potential trade, and Pittsburgh is in a good place on an Ayuk contract, sources say. If San Francisco gives the final sign-off, it's done. San Francisco has an offer out to Ayuk on a long-term deal for him to stay, but he hasn't yet accepted. We have both interpreted this, Dibs, in a slightly different ways. One of the reasons I believe that Brandon Ayuk is just bluffing and he has no interest in going to the Pittsburgh Steelers and ultimately will sign that offer sheet with the 49ers is because of what Diana Rossini had to say earlier today on her podcast, Scoop City, the Scoop City podcast with Chase Daniel via The Athletic. She had this to say about Brandon Ayuk's offseason and his wishes, which haven't always been consistent. Here's Diana Rossini.
from what I was told, the player hasn't really been easy to work with in terms of what he wants, which I don't think is breaking news there, right? Because he seems to be a little bit all over the place. I want to be in San Francisco. I really want to play here. But no, I actually want to play for Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
He's clearly talking about Brandon Ayuk there.
The player.
And the player.
I like it.
Is referencing to Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
And she essentially says, Ayuk has kind of gone back and forth. He's flip-flopped. That time she's heard he wants to go to Pittsburgh and play for Mike Tomlin. Other times she's heard he wants to stay with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers in Santa Clara and be a 49er and sign that contract. Are we so sure that Brandon Ayuk is just so dead set on joining the Pittsburgh Steelers? Dana Rossini seems to make it seem, Dibs, as if that's not the case. That maybe he's wavering and doesn't quite know exactly what he wants.
Of course he's wavering, because he's been wavering this whole time. And I do think that there was a sense of what TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, had told us before, which is two things. He just wants to get paid, and he wants to be a 49er. So those two things together means, of course, he wants to be a 49er, but he wants to get paid. And as you go through the process, and New England came forward and offered him more than anybody else reportedly has offered him, and he said no to New England, well, that tells you that he just wants to get paid is not priority number one. Maybe priority number one is he wants to be a 49er, which would tell me that if this happens the way it's happened today, with Ian Rappaport saying the Niners have a trade in place with Pittsburgh, but they also have a contract out to Ayuk, all he has to do is decide. If Ayuk wants to be a Niner more than he wants to get paid, then he signs that deal and he stays a 49er. But maybe it becomes a thing about ego now where, you know, we know that Parag Marate in the front office of the Niners wants to win the deal. I'm sure Ayuk also wants to kind of feel like he's won the deal. And if the offer is still at $26 million, which it's been for 3 or 4 months, and you sign that deal as Ayuk, well then, what have you been doing for these past 3 or 4 months? You end up, you know, tucking tail and coming back to the Niners, and I know it's a nice tail tuck, and I'd love to tuck the tail for $26 million, but you get the point about going back into that locker room where his teammates would be looking at him going, well, I mean, where you been? You did all that for nothing. You did all that. You held in, and you demanded a trade or requested a trade. You did all these things, and you wound up with not one extra dollar. That makes him look a little bit, I don't know, weak, but it makes him look like he lost the deal.
Yeah, maybe at a certain point, we could have the conversation about, I don't know if this is on any one person in particular or if it's just the way that the Niners front office culture has developed. And I think kind of the poster boy for this is Parag Marate, because he is the guy in charge of the money, and obviously he's in on the contract negotiations. It's not like he's the only one there negotiating. But you got to ask the question, Dibs, at a certain point, like say ultimately Ayuk caves and he signs the $26 million per year offer from the 49ers, but maybe even then there's a chance that, as you're saying, he might not be doing that with a smile on his face, and maybe he holds a little bit of residual anger and frustration as he enters his future with the 49ers. And at a certain point, you might have to ask, 49ers, is everything that you've been through, everything that you've done to try to win the negotiation and get Ayuk in here for $26 million per year, is all of that worth, first of all, the trouble that the last few months have put you through? And is it also worth maybe any future frustration that it might cause? And is it worth, I don't know, the league-wide perception of how the Niners do business? Is all of that worth it for saving a couple of million bucks a year?
It doesn't seem like it, and especially if it ends up affecting the way you go about doing things with other free agents, and they look at how you treated Brandon Ayuk, and if you drag him through all this, and if you're another free agent and you see Brandon Ayuk, a homegrown player who wanted to be here, and eventually he has to settle for $26 million, and he's not happy about it, I don't know if the optics of that are good for your future courting of other free agents. If the word out there is that you kind of grinded Brandon Ayuk over $2 million a year, and he's not happy about it, and that word gets out, that might affect you in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have a poll that we put up on our Twitter page. Shout out to our director of sports, Lucas Alexander, at 957thegame on Twitter if you want to check it out. Who do you blame for Brandon Ayuk not being in camp as we are less than 4 weeks away from the 49ers' first game? We're approaching 250 total votes. It is essentially split 50-50, Dibs. 51% blame Brandon Ayuk, 49% blame the 49ers. Nearly 250 votes in, and it is split basically right down the middle. And in fact, the first reply to the tweet is, we need another option for both.
Right.
And I think that would be taking the cake if that was an option. There's certainly blame to go around on both sides. But then generally, when that's the case, Dibs, I think this might be the point you're getting to, maybe that calls for a simple compromise. Ayuk wants 28. The Niners want 26. Maybe Niners, you beef up your offer just a little tiny bit. Don't quite get up to where Ayuk is sitting. But maybe you make a concession just a little bit so that Ayuk can maybe sign that contract offer with a little bit of a smile on his face and make him feel like his efforts at least were rewarded by an extra million or so per year.
Right. But if you're Parag Marate in the front office for the 49ers, it's not what you do. You have a number that you are willing to settle for, and that's what you do. And if you offered 26 back in March, and I don't know this to be the case, but it feels like by reading the tea leaves that there was an offer in place back in March, and Ayuk and the team were both close to agreeing on it. He reportedly had his suit pressed and ready.
He said that as much on the Pivot podcast.
Right, so he's going to show up here, and we're going to do this back in March, and this is not going to be a thing that drags all summer long. And then that number changed because all those other offers came in, all those other deals got done, Devontae Smith and Waddle and all the rest of them. And so now Brandon Ayuk is thinking, man, 26 is, that's not enough. I'm worth 28 and a half or 29 or maybe even more. And New England turns out they were willing to give him a reported 32 if he would accept a trade to them. So Brandon's now thinking, I can't possibly do 26. And so here we are on August 13th, and we've gotten to a point where it's ultimatum time. And the Niners are saying, sign or, you know, we're going to trade you. And that's where now he has a choice to make because it doesn't feel like the Niners are willing to do, all right, Brandon, let's just meet at 27 after all. I could be wrong, but it feels like this news today from Ian Rappaport is the Niners are saying, this is our last best offer. This is it. This is the offer. August 13th, we're getting ready for New Orleans coming here on Sunday, and then we got a trip to Vegas, and then it's the regular year.
Let's go time.
Enough of this. No more of this. Either you take our 26, or we trade you to Pittsburgh, and we move on.
Yeah, there's...
It feels like the time for negotiation is past.
Yeah, and it's something that Rappaport said. There's, what, dual paths? There's a couple of different paths here. I think for the 49ers, how do you kind of have dual motivation? First of all, you want Ayuk here. You want Ayuk here at your number. And obviously, we don't know exactly what the ramifications would be, but if they just sign Ayuk to $28 million a year instead of the 26 that they're reportedly offering, maybe that means you can't re-sign D'Amador Lenore in the future. Maybe it means that you're going to have to say goodbye to Mooney Ward. Maybe you're saying goodbye to Mooney Ward anyway. Who knows? That's certainly possible. We don't know exactly what the ramifications are. I would imagine because the 49ers are being so steadfast in their negotiation or really lack thereof that there are very, very real reasons why they are controlling this negotiation the way that they are. They're not doing it to try to spite Brandon Ayuk. They're doing it because they think it's what's best for the organization. You might disagree with what's best for the organization, but I guarantee you that is their motivation. I also think what comes into play here, Dibs, is the way the Nick Bosa situation worked out last year. Nick Bosa won that negotiation. Absolutely. And by all accounts, he's really the only Niner player of this era to have won the negotiation. It maybe feels similar from the outside, and maybe you think that Brandon Ayuk is winning this negotiation, but if the 49ers, Dibs, haven't yet upped their offer to match what Brandon Ayuk is asking for at this point, and considering how much of this has been negotiated out in public, I find it hard to believe they will ever go up to 28. They would sooner trade him. Maybe that's a mistake, but it seems like that is the reality. I think that this negotiation coming on the heels details of last year's negotiation where Bosa took the Niners to the woodshed and beat them. That might be having an impact on this as well, because it limits the 49ers' flexibility on this one, and you also don't want to set the precedent where your players just play hardball under contract and they can get whatever they want.
Good point about precedent. I do think that that's part of it, where, you know, if you cave on this one, well, now you have a situation where
a year from now we'll do the same thing.
Right. Other players are going to want to come at you and say, well, you did it for Ayuk. And, you know, Bosa is totally separate, much like Justin Jefferson in the wide receiver market. Yeah. Nick Bosa is not a negotiation, I think, that you can look at as a comp, because he is the best in football, or one of the two or three best in football at his position. And his position is maybe the second most important in football behind quarterback. We could argue left tackle, but outside
certainly
of that,
more than wide receiver.
Absolutely more than wide receiver, no doubt. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk might be your second most important wide receiver, and they just drafted your possible replacement. So all those things lead into this. And I do think, and I wonder if we'll ever find out about how the negotiation went, because it does feel to me like Brandon Ayuk's ask, what he was asking for, changed between the beginning of the offseason and the middle of the negotiation, where all those other contracts came through. And I'm not saying that that's not fair that he changed his number, because, you know, we talked to TJ Houshmandzadeh, his personal coach, and he made a good analogy about home prices. You know, if you go to buy a house in March and it's 1.3, and you say, oh, well, we're not sure, and you go back in June and that same house is now 1.6, well, the house is worth 1.6 now. And that's just the way that goes. That's the cost of doing business, and that's the way the market forces go. And it's kind of the same thing with wide receiver, and I get that. But if you're the Niners brass and you felt like you were really close to a deal back in March, and then you get to April and May, and now you're not so close because his number has changed, I could see where they'd be pissed off.
Yeah, and now maybe you get to a point where you're just so over the distraction of this all.
Right.
And that's
right.
Something that Brian Baldinger was talking about earlier today on the Morning Roast. And I think I got lost in a point I was trying to make, but it's kind of the dual motivation for the 49ers with what they're doing right now. And again, if you're just joining us, Ian Rappaport earlier today reporting that the 49ers and Steelers have essentially agreed on the parameters of a Brandon Ayuk trade, meaning the 49ers, according to reports, have agreed to what the return would be from Pittsburgh. We don't know what that return would be. We could speculate all we want. Dibs is thinking maybe there's a starting guard, offensive lineman that could be coming back that would certainly fill a need for the 49ers, but we do not know that for sure. But in addition to trying or holding, you know, steady at your offer of $26 million and hoping to get Ayuk there at that number, the other half of this negotiation and the other half of this news today, Dibs, is maybe the 49ers sending a signal that even if we don't get Ayuk back, we just want this thing over with, because we've been dealing with these questions for this entire offseason. We are now officially less than 4 weeks away from game number one of the regular season, and this is the only thing that we're talking about. We have an injured wide receiver room. We don't know if Ayuk's going to play for us week one. Maybe they have a feeling he will. Maybe they're not sure. Who knows? But you don't know for sure 100% no matter what. We might be at a point where at the very least, Ayuk's tactics are working to the point that the Niners are just set on figuring out an answer, even if the answer isn't the one they were originally searching for in the first place.
And I get that, and it makes sense with 27 days to go now until the opener, and you've got a lot more issues than just the Brandon Ayuk contract. You got Trent Williams, who still is holding out, and you've got more than two dozen players who are injured, and we'll get into some of that with Dr. Brian Feely coming up cleared to play at 4 o'clock, but you've got issues right now. So many injuries that you had to cancel joint practices with New Orleans. So it's not as simple as, well, we get Brandon done and we're ready to go. You've got Trent Williams to deal with, and you've got all these other players who are either freshly hurt or hurt from last year. And so you're trying to figure out all of your roster, and you're trying to figure out who your 53-man roster is going to be when you break camp. And that has to be decided now in about 2 weeks. 2.5 weeks, you got to get down to your final cutdown. So either Brandon's a part of that or he's not. And if he's not, do you have a player coming back? And I'm just spitballing on possible compensation. And I just looked at Isaac Seumalo, who is an interior guard. I think he plays right guard for Pittsburgh. He's a player who has done pretty well for them. And they have another guard that they just drafted this last year that they could probably slot into their offensive line. If you're the Niners, you're not going to do this trade without at least a player coming back. And I don't think that you're going to get one of their wide receivers. I don't think you're going to be able to get George Pickens. And other than that, you probably don't want anybody else. Van Jefferson, he won't start for you. And the rest of their receiving core is probably not good enough to acquire. Ideally, if you were going to trade with Pittsburgh, you'd get T.J. Watt. You're not getting him. You'd get Minkah Fitzpatrick. You're not getting him. So if you want to think about what you actually might be able to get, I looked at James Daniels, who's the right guard, and I looked at Seumalo, who's the left guard. And those, to me, feel like spots where the Niners could get an upgrade, get another body in. They've got injuries in their interior offensive line already, so that, for me, feels like a player you might get back. Not sexy, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, fans are going to run out and get a 73 Seumalo jersey, but he's at least a player you could grab and put into your lineup, and maybe you could offset some losses you already have.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, their current fullback, the only fullback on the roster, Jack Coletto, who was a 49er practice squad player last year, undrafted out of Oregon State, played like every position on offense you possibly could at Oregon State. Niners really liked him, but he got picked off their practice squad by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just throwing out a name, not that that would be the basis of a return for Ayuk,
right?
But it is a name that I recognize as a former 49er and as a player the 49ers did like. I think the other thing that is interesting, and I was kind of sorting through, there's so many twists and turns this Ayuk conversation has taken over the course of the last 6 months, but even specifically recently. You remember what happened last Friday. Last Friday, it was Tom Pelissero and Mike Garofalo, both of the NFL Network, both who are very plugged in and have been all over this story, although I think they've kind of been misled a little bit at times. But on Friday, they both reported, the 49ers have made a renewed effort in recent days to strike a long-term deal with wide receiver Brandon Ayuk. The situation is fluid, and other teams, including Pittsburgh, are still in the mix, but a return to San Francisco appears increasingly possible. That was last Friday, Tom Pelissero and Mike Garofalo. And then if you remember, after we were all, discussing the positive developments and how it looks like an extension between the Niners and Ayuk is in the cards, and we might get this news today. We're going to find out. And then Ayuk Dibs kind of poured cold water on the entire situation by taking to Instagram and responding to that report. Yeah. And he wrote, quote, "Niners be in the media every day, LOL. It's two options out there. Pick one and stop dropping reports. Simple." It seems like the Niners, Dibs, have responded to Brandon Ayuk by saying, "It's not us making the choice, Brandon, it's you. The ball is in your court. You have two choices. 28 with Pittsburgh, 26 with us. We're waiting on you, big guy. Make a choice." The Niners have seemingly responded to Ayuk's response to them, and they've handed him the Uno reverse card. No, 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 not so fast.
Totally.
It's up to you.
That's great. Maybe even a draw two, which is second only to the draw four.
I hate the draw four.
It's pretty funny that you mentioned that, because my daughter, who's almost two, has a children's book in which some of the characters are playing Uno. And so I've tried to explain to her that this is Uno, and she's not ready for card games, but it is the reverse card that they've played, because he said, "Yeah, you got one of two choices." And they said, "Okay, here's your choice. It's Pittsburgh." And so they've done the work to get the Pittsburgh thing. And, you know, we talked to Andrew Filippone. Each show's had him on at least twice. And he's talked for 3 weeks about this deal being at the goal line. And you know what? It's probably been at the goal line. And here we are. Either Brandon Ayuk is going to go QB sneak and get in, or he's just going to take a knee and say, "No, I want to be a Niner." But it does feel like they played the reverse card and the ball is in his court. If they have a deal in place with Pittsburgh and Brandon Ayuk has the opportunity to get a deal done with Pittsburgh, and I believe that that's also been done, or at least that's been close to being a done deal, what are you going to do, Brandon? like Mark always says, Mark Willard, all right, hot shot from Top Gun. What are you going to do? Hot shot?
Hot shot.
It's up to you now, right?
What
do you
want to
do? Do you want to take the Pittsburgh money and be a Steelers, or do you want to come back home and take our final best offer, which feels to me...
Also like their first and only offer.
Exactly. It feels like their last best offer is the same offer that's been on the table for a long time. And so what do you do, Brandon? Because it feels like if I'm Brandon, thinking only about ego, if I come back to the Niners and take that offer, that's an L. And it feels like, what have I been doing for the past 3 months? I've been out there, you know, trying to get traded and turning down deals and this and that and TikTok and all the rest of it. All for what? So you could be a Niner anyway? That feels like you're taking the L. Or you can take the W. You requested a trade, and now you're a Steeler. That's a W. You get more money, but is it really a W? If you're on a team that goes, you know, 8-8-1, and you know you miss out on the playoffs for 4 straight years, and you're a Steeler, and your numbers go down because you got Russell Wilson running around, and you got Justin Fields not throwing you the ball. So it might be a W on signing, but eventually it might be an L.
Yeah, and I think the Niners are calling Ayuk's bluff that Ayuk feels like going to Pittsburgh would actually be an L and not a W. I think that's what the Niners believe. We'll see ultimately what Ayuk believes. I firmly believe that the ball is in Ayuk's court, and he's got to make a decision one way or another. And the Niners, at this point, they've washed their hands of the situation. Whatever Ayuk decides, they're going to go with it. It does feel like we're at that point. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. When we come back, we'll get into this more.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good. And some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Also, a couple of things that Brian Baldinger said earlier today on the Morning Roast. You're not going to want to miss that. Maybe it gives us some insight into the 49ers' position and why they are okay washing their hands of this situation. That's coming up on the other side as Willard and Dibs continues. We're sponsored by Lucky California. More on the other side next.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
No Mark Willard. He's back tomorrow here on Willard and Dibs. It's Mark Randy sitting in for him alongside Dan Dibley. Dibley's about ready to, take a stretch five?
Yeah, not technically a stretch five, but I appreciate the reference. And the reason why, well, the stretch four actually was my creation. And what a real stretch four is when you have a day off that is planned. Thank you. Like Labor Day, for example.
You get the Monday off.
You take the Friday, and then it becomes a stretch four. I'm simply taking 3 days of vacation, which turns into a nice 5 day weekend.
It's pretty nice.
It's pretty cushy.
Yeah.
But the original stretch four was only thank you, a stretch four. So in other words, when the 4th of July falls on a Friday and you take the following Monday, that is a stretch four. Because you've stretched a 3 day into a 4 day weekend.
Important question. Does it always have to be the Friday and the Monday, or can a stretch four be you get the Monday off and you also take the Tuesday off?
That would qualify also as a stretch four. Yeah. I like that. Because you are essentially stretching a three into a four. Which, and just real quick, a quick aside, this is normally a Willard thing, but this is one of my pet peeves in sports talk, is the idea of a gentleman sweep. A gentleman sweep is not when you beat the other team in five games.
Yeah.
The gentleman sweep is when you win games 1, 2, and 3, and as a gentleman or a gentlewoman, you allow the other team to win game 4, and then you finish it off in 5. That's the only time it is a, quote, gentleman sweep. So if you win game 1 and I win game 2 and then you win games 3, 4, and 5, that's not a gentleman sweep. That's you winning in 5. It's only a gentleman sweep when Team A wins the first 3 and then game 5. You're welcome.
It's fascinating what frustrates you.
The little things that frustrate me. Another thing, if I can get one quick aside in before I use all my material while I'm gone the rest of the week. The whole thing when callers, and I love you all callers, 888-957-9570.
Yeah, call in and frustrate Dibs before he takes 5 days off.
Just come at me, yes.
Please, help me out.
I'll take my answer off the air. No, you won't, you idiot. You're going to take your answer on the air.
You just will be off the air, but you will listen to it on the air.
Exactly. I'm not going to call you at home. I'm not going to send you an email or write you a firmly worded handwritten letter. You're going to get your answer on the air.
The best way to sign off after a call is, thanks, I'll shut up and listen.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I mean, anything like that. But go ahead and light up the phone lines. And I will give out my lock of the day, too, later today. Because your boy's been hot now.
What is that, like 2 in a row?
One in a row. I didn't give one yesterday. I should have. I would have given you the Giants-Braves over a half a run. Score me the scoreboard on that.
I wonder, what was the over-under for that game yesterday?
It had to be like 7.
6.5.
6.5?
There you have it. Thank you, Lucas.
Easy.
Oh, but you're retired, Lucas. You had that answer pretty quick. Such a liar. Thank you.
Stay locked in so you don't have to get locked in.
There we go.
I'll buy that. That's a 4.
That was an easy no sweat under yesterday with Blake Snell and Chris Sale. No one could hit. Talk about an uncomfortable at bat for every single left-hander last night. Does not matter which team you were on. You're facing off against Blake Snell and Chris Sale. I would not want to be a lefty in that lineup. Really a righty either, but especially a lefty.
Giants have dropped 2 in a row. They're 2.5 back of the wild card, and I know Steiny's listening. The math still works, Matt. The math still
works. Maybe we got to use a different word. The arithmetic is still there, Steiny.
Yeah. I guess, but either way,
it
ticks
frustrates
them off. Anyway, enough about my pet peeves. I'm okay now.
Quick aside.
I've worked through it. Yeah, thank you.
We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Head to twitch.tv/957thegame and youtube.com/957thegame to watch us live. And if anyone swears, you'll get to hear it. It might be dibs. Who knows? We'll
might
find
be.
Out. Subscribe to the channel for all 957 The Game content on Twitch and YouTube. And make sure to hit that thumbs up button on YouTube if you like the show. It's all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And you can now download the free Odyssey app by scanning the QR code in the bottom right corner of our Twitch and YouTube streams with your smartphone. Dibs and I, it's Mark Randy in for Mark Willard. We've been sorting through the latest in this Brandon Ayuk saga, and the latest is from Ian Rappaport as he says that the 49ers and Steelers have essentially agreed on a potential deal that would send Ayuk to Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are in, quote, a good place on an Ayuk contract. It now seems as if the 49ers are just handing the ball over to Brandon Ayuk and letting him make his decision. And Dibs, you and I both agree, perhaps part of the motivation for the 49ers to go about this negotiation this way is because they just simply want this over with, and maybe it's becoming a little bit too big of a distraction. The Niners have always prided themselves in the Shanahan era, specifically maybe after the first couple years of Shanahan, once the team started winning football games. They've always prided themselves, Dibs, as being a really strong culture and a team that doesn't have many issues and distractions, and they can get through things. I mean, just 2 years ago, they got through the awkwardness of Jimmy Garoppolo, we're going to trade him. No, he's practicing on a side field. Now we're going to keep him and rework his deal. He's going to be the backup behind Trey Lance, even though we're kind of convinced that maybe Brock Purdy, the third string, is better than both these guys. They got through that. Is this Brandon Ayuk situation, is this enough of a distraction? Could it have enough of an impact on the 49ers locker room, on the 49ers on the field, that they're just willing to move off of an all-pro wide receiver because it is having that big of an impact? Is it possible that it could be having that big of an impact within the 49ers locker room?
I don't think so. I do think that it's become a distraction for the front office, and I think that they've gotten to the point where they don't want to move off of the number that they have. They have it budgeted. They have it set. It was the offer that they made, and they feel good about that offer being competitive, being fair, and being the offer that they want to make. And all the things that Brandon Ayuk has done subsequent to that, I haven't gotten the sense that the 49ers have sat down with him and tried to find a middle ground with how much money they're willing to spend on Brandon Ayuk. We even had that report earlier in the week. It must have been last week where, you know, the two sides sat down with Kyle Shanahan and there was a little bit of a come to Jesus, and they were able to exchange ideas and speak openly to one another about what has happened. Well, since then, we've gotten no sense that the team has moved off the number that they previously offered, and we haven't gotten a sense that Brandon Ayuk has shown any more willingness to stop holding in and accept the number that they offered. So it was great that they had a meeting, but it feels like that meeting was more about words and feelings and emotions and less about actual negotiation and money. So if that's the case, and you get now to August 13th and you've got two more preseason games, you got one on Sunday and then one on a short week, or I'm sorry, a short week, as Lowe would say, next week, we're getting to the point where you got to turn this page and you got to get ready for real football. So I don't think that it's an on-field or a locker room distraction, but I do think that it's a front office annoyance where, you know, you've got your whiteboard and you're in the front office and all the things you have to worry about. Top of the list, Brandon Ayuk, get it resolved. Number two, Trent Williams. Yeah, what are we going to do? Restructure? Question mark. And then below that, it's all the other stuff with the roster. Who are you going to keep? Who can you slide through to the practice squad? What are you going to do with this position spot and all the rest of it? So from the front office, you've got two big, bold, high-ticket things to worry about. And first and foremost is Brandon Ayuk. And if it doesn't feel like you're going to be able to get a negotiation, and if you don't want to negotiate and come off of your number, and he doesn't want to come off of his number, well, then you get to the spot where you say, look, you're under contract for 14.1. We're offering you, let's just say 26. We don't know for sure, but we're offering you 26. If you don't want to take 26 and you don't want to play for 14.1, then we're going to trade you to Pittsburgh. And we have a deal in place, and Pittsburgh is willing to give you more than 26, I would imagine. So what do you want to do, Brandon? What do you want to do?
Here we go. Hot shot.
Yeah, what do you want to do? How do you want to play this?
I get what you're saying, but if this is only a distraction or an annoyance or a cause of frustration for the front office, I mean, I'll put it bluntly, like, this is what the front office is there for. They're paid to put up with stuff like this and to work around things like this. If this is only an issue for the front office, Dibs, is that a big enough deal to make them say, all right, we're going to trade our all-pro wide receiver? I feel like if you're willing to make a trade of your all-pro wide receiver when it seems like you haven't really wanted to all offseason long, and now you're going to do it less than 4 weeks before week one, I feel like you're probably in a situation where you might be worried that it's going to impact your play on the field in some. I mean, if it's just going to impact the front office, like, Parag, Jed, Kyle, and John, deal with it. Sorry. Like, it's kind of what you got to do as members of the front office of an NFL team. I think maybe what would push them across to being willing to trade someone is if, maybe there's a little bit of grumbling in the locker room that not everyone's cool with how this thing is going down.
Or the other piece of it for me, because I don't think in the locker room, and I've heard this from every pro athlete I've ever interviewed or talked to or, you know, talked about, is they don't count each other's pockets. So if Brandon Ayuk is in this spot and he feels like he needs this money or he needs whatever he needs, I don't think any player in there is feeling any kind of way about what he's trying to do, because they've been in that spot or they will be in that spot. And so you don't want to judge another man trying to go out there and get the money that he thinks he has coming to him. The other piece of it, though, is maybe they feel internally like Brandon Ayuk won't play on the fifth year option. So maybe he's willing to continue holding in, which means, oh, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in meetings. But, you know, when it comes time to practice, I'm not going to practice. And when it comes time to play me, I know you're not going to play me because I don't practice, but I'm still going to get my money. And I know Mark Willard's been adamant about that being disastrous for Brandon Ayuk's career. And it is. I don't think that that's a positive for his future ability to get money. But there's got to be some sense inside the building that Brandon Ayuk will not do what they want him to do if they say, look, no deal. Either you sign for 26 or you come in and play for 14.1. And if he doesn't want to do that, there has to be some feeling like he's going to either not make life miserable, but it's going to continue to be a problem for them if he tries to do that.
Okay, that's interesting that you brought that up, because I did pick out this piece of sound from your guys' conversation, you and Mark Willard, with TJ Houshmandzadeh from last week. And it was, first of all, it was kind of interesting the way that TJ laid this out, because you guys did a great job asking him all the pertinent questions, but he never really identified the just accepting the $26 million offer that's on the table from the Niners, reportedly. He never really identified that as an option. For TJ, it was either trade me, and this is TJ speaking for Ayuk, it was either trade Ayuk, it was up your offer and sign him for about $28 million a year, or it was force him to play on the fifth-year option. TJ did not have in his mind the $26 million offer as an option, and maybe that was just simply Ayuk's side of things trying to get that offer increased to 28, and that's well within their right. But you guys then asked, okay, TJ, what if Ayuk doesn't get traded, Niners refuse to trade him, and they also refuse to give him an extension? What would Ayuk do? Would he play on the fifth-year option? How would that play out? And here's what TJ Houshmandzadeh, Ayuk's personal wide receiver coach and friend, and is clearly up-to-date in this situation, here's what he had to say last Thursday about Ayuk potentially playing on the fifth-year option.
The advice that I would give him, I'm going to be pissed off. because this isn't how y'all done business with your best players. They've always come to a deal, so you don't consider me your best player. So now the whole season, I got to play on a contract that I'm unhappy with. So now I'm going to be unhappy, and you're going to see that at times. The locker room is going to see that at times, and it may get combustible because Shanahan is not a punk. Shanahan going to say what's on his mind, and you don't want those type of confrontations. And so that would be the hard part is if there's no deal and he has to play on that option, that would suck because I know as a player, you're just going to be so angry, so distraught. And again, Shanahan has the coach and entire team, and he doesn't want that type of energy in the locker room. And so he has to do what he has to do. And I understand that, but that I don't think that would be a good situation at all.
It's interesting because TJ Houshmandzadeh, Brandon Ayuk's personal wide receiver coach, who had a long, successful career in the NFL, essentially said, Dibs, without coming out and saying it word for word, essentially said, if the Niners are forcing Ayuk to play on the fifth-year option, my advice to him is don't hide your frustration and kind of cause a stink in the locker room.
Just go out there and play, but, you know, let your emotions flow. And, you know, if you happen to have times when you're upset, then be upset. And Kyle Shanahan's going to tell it like
it is.
Fire
back.
Exactly. And which does not create the sort of locker room culture that we've had from these 49ers that we've seen over the last few years, where even through the Jimmy Garoppolo saga, it never permeated the ethos of the locker room. It never became a problem. They worked their way through it, and Jimmy was, you know, the backup, and then Trey got hurt, and then it was Jimmy's job, even though he was on the kiddie field during practices and during training camp.
It was so weird.
It was weird, but it never affected them. Jimmy got the ball, and he won a bunch of games.
To be fair, it might have affected them if Trey never got hurt and Trey struggled.
Right.
But they kind of got an out when Trey got hurt.
Yeah, it all worked itself out. And that may be the case here where, you know, Brandon Ayuk, if he winds up being a 49er and they have another good year and Brandon balls out again, we may never see it. Like the old David West line from the Warriors dynasty. All y'all never saw what happened.
Just wait till you find out.
Exactly.
What we went through.
Exactly. Which we never found out what they went through.
Which was what? That was like the 16-1 postseason?
Yeah, exactly.
When they dominated?
They dominated.
And the first thing he says after they win was, we went through a lot of you-know-what all season long.
And you had no idea. Which, you know, good teams can keep that stuff in-house, and the 49ers might have that ability if Brandon has to come back and do all that. But, you know, it all depends on what happens over the next, you know, 4 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours. It feels, again, like this thing is, you know, coming to a head here. Because if you're Pittsburgh, wouldn't you want to have this all done before this upcoming weekend?
No doubt.
And I don't have the Pittsburgh schedule in front of me, but I know they've got their second preseason game coming up shortly. And, you know, if you want
to play on Saturday against Buffalo,
there you go. Yeah. So if you want to acquire Brandon Ayuk, you're not thinking about Saturday against Buffalo. You're not even thinking about the third preseason game, but you're thinking the sooner I get him in, the better, because they don't have the luxury of waiting until Monday for their first game. They play on that Sunday, so they're now 26 days away from their opener. And, you know, you could probably get a wide receiver up to speed in 2 to 3 weeks with route running and route concepts and terminology. And, you know, maybe it takes more time to get on the same page as your quarterback, but you feel like 2 to 3 weeks, you could make that work. But you're starting to run up against that deadline if you're acquiring a player that you're going to count on.
Which is why I, again, ask the question, why hasn't anything happened just yet? If what Ian Rappaport is reporting is true, and I guess, you know, we could just throw a wet blanket on top of everything, and we could say, well, what he's reporting just simply isn't true, and then this whole conversation is moot. But Ian Rappaport is very plugged in, and there's no reason to not believe what he's reporting. And if what he's reporting is indeed true, everything is in place except for the final sign-offs. And what is Ayuk's camp waiting on? What is the 49ers side of things waiting on? It seemed like the Niners are just waiting on Ayuk to say yes. And ultimately, the Niners don't really need Ayuk to say yes. I guess they do need Ayuk to be able to sign the extension with the Steelers, but that seems to be part of this deal that's been done for 2 weeks. The Ayuk Steeler extension seems to be something that has been agreed upon for a really long time, and the holdup on this deal was what was coming back from the 49ers. But if you're asking what changed today, what was the news today, oh my God, you guys are talking about this again, what changed? What changed is the Niners and Steelers have agreed on the compensation to go back to the 49ers, and still nothing has happened. So what is the holdup now? If the holdup was... if it was the compensation going back to San Francisco, and now it's still being held up after the compensation is agreed upon, the only possible thing I can think of that's holding it up is Ayuk. And maybe he's not actually willing to go there, and maybe that's contributing to the 49ers' decision to try to just hurry this whole thing along because they're sick of this. Maybe they feel like Ayuk's camp feels like the Niners are negotiating in bad faith. Maybe the Niners feel like Ayuk is doing the same thing. We found you a trade partner in New England. We found you a trade partner in Cleveland. Ayuk, Brandon, we've now found you a trade partner in Pittsburgh. You have to tell us that you want to go because this is all you've been asking for months now.
And here we are, and we've got the destination where you reportedly wanted to go. We had another deal in place that you said no thank you to for more money. So now we've finally found a deal with Pittsburgh that works for them and it works for us, and they're willing to sign you to whatever the amount of money is, but it's probably more than what the Niners are offering. Otherwise, this deal wouldn't be live and wouldn't be viable. So now, Brandon Ayuk, you have a choice. The choice is yours, and shout out the black sheep. You can take it this or you can do it that. And that was the old song from the 90s, and that's where they are. So you can choose Pittsburgh, you can choose us, more money with Pittsburgh, better team here, you know the system, you know this quarterback, our quarterback's better, you might like their coach better, we don't know. The choice is yours, Brandon Ayuk. You can get with this or you can get with that. Exactly.
And
so
we'll
that's
find out.
Right.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Let's go back out to the phone lines here on Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy in for Willard. Willard will be back tomorrow. Up next is Rich in Fremont. Rich, what's up? You're on a Willard and Dibs. How you doing, Rich?
Doing great, Grandy. Dibs, what's up, man?
What's up, Rich?
Hey, man. I was going to tell you, man, enjoy that vacation because you know when you come back, we're going to give you that chastisation sensation.
Oh, there you have it. Come at me.
Okay. So I'm guessing what's going on here is that along with what Grandy was saying, I think it's Ayuk. I think he's the problem. I think that's what's holding the deal up. I don't think he wants to leave San Francisco. I think he wants to stay there, and he wants his money. And I don't think he's going to get both. The Niners are looking at this thinking, you know what? We put this deal through. Hey, That money we're paying Ayuk, we ain't got to pay him no more. And you know what? We can get that money to Tripp. Because, hey, from San Francisco office, everybody knows Tripp's more important than Brandon Ayuk. All right? And I think that's what's holding it up. It's Ayuk. Because he doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate the call. I agree with Rich. I think the Niners are just calling Brandon Ayuk's bluff that he doesn't actually want to go to Pittsburgh, and ultimately the way this thing is going to play out is Ayuk is going to agree to the offer sheet the Niners have had in front of him since March.
Well, that would be something. I'd be surprised, and that would be, for me, that would make me think not a little bit less of Brandon Ayuk, but it would make me wonder what his motivation was through all of this. Was he really trying to use this as a leverage play for the 49ers? And if he was, well, it didn't work. And all it did was turn off a number of 49er faithful against Brandon Ayuk, because we put up a poll on, you know, who do you blame for this ongoing saga between Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers? Which side do you blame? And it was running about 50-50 early on, but the more the votes have come in, it feels like more of the blame, quote unquote, is going to Brandon Ayuk. So if Ayuk does eventually come back in, tail between his legs, and sign the Niners deal for $26 million a year, which is less than he could have gotten with New England and less than he probably could have gotten from Pittsburgh, and he put all the Niner fans through this roller coaster of a journey, he'll be forgiven for now. But if Brandon Ayuk goes out there and has a soft tissue injury, or drops a couple of footballs, or fumbles in the red zone, the fan patience is going to be a lot lower, a lot less than it would have been had he not gone through this.
I hope that doesn't happen, but I guess only time will tell.
That's human nature, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right, we got to hit a quick break. Coming up on the other side is Cleared to Play with Dr. Brian Feely. That's coming up next as Willard and Dibs continues. It's Mark Grandy in for Mark Willard. Dibs and Grandy with you. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.